Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 258, Mother's Day. Pastor Harley Kolterman delivered this message on Sunday, May 8th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Let's stand and pray. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus and for the power of Jesus' name. We just thank you, Father, that you foresaw that we needed mothers. And you, in your divine wisdom, you created a man, a woman, to be husband and wife, and to produce children. You said to that first couple, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So, Father, we're thankful, we're grateful, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, because your plan is the best plan. It really is the only plan. And thank you, Father, that your plan will not fail. It will not fail. It will not go away, because your plan and your purpose will outlive all of humanity. And for it, we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers. Welcome those of you who are online and YouTube and Facebook. We're grateful that you're joining us this morning. We hope that God will, well, perhaps he's already blessed you, and that he will just double up this morning, give you your breakthrough, and that God will make a way where there isn't any way for those of you that are perhaps struggling. Praise the Lord. So this morning, the subject seems to be on the woman Hannah, but I'm going to talk about her as an extraordinary mom, and perhaps share some things that we can learn from this mother this morning. There are a lot of amazing women throughout the scriptures that are listed. Maybe the first one, Eve, she had to be an amazing woman, praise the Lord, because she's the mother of everybody. And, you know, a lot of times we focus on the eating the fruit and misleading her husband and all of those kind of things, but she was a great mother. She was the first mother. Just think about it this way. She had to learn everything because nobody else, she had no example to follow. She had to be the pioneer, and she had to be the one who learned everything and then passed it on to her children. What an amazing woman Eve must have been. Hopefully we'll get to meet her when we get to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that'll be a really great day. In the New Jerusalem, not the one that you saw on the screen, in the New Jerusalem, we'll have a great, great banquet and a great party, and it'll be a wonderful time. And there are some other women in the Bible. Naomi, the story of Naomi and Ruth, a great mother, a mother who inspired her daughter-in-laws to follow her, and one of them went with her and wouldn't be separated from her. Her name was Ruth. She became a great woman of God as well, and is in the lineage of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Another great woman was Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab was known as the harlot, but she made the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And she also was one of the ancestors of Jesus. Another woman, a great woman of God, Deborah. She was a prophetess and a judge in the time of the judges. She was a great woman of God, leading a nation, an amazing woman. In the New Testament, there's some other women like Mary Magdalene, a woman who got set free from demon power. Did amazing things. Perhaps is the woman who broke the alabaster box of perfume over Jesus. Mary, the sister of Lazarus and the sister of Martha, a person who taught us that it's better to sit at the feet of Jesus than to be just serving, being driven by our ministry, our service work. Amazing woman. Mary, the mother of Jesus, not to be the least, but she was a great woman of God. The Bible says that when all of those things were prophesied about her son, She kept them in her heart. She pondered them in her heart, giving us a great example that, you know, you don't just share everything with everybody. You know, some things are sacred, some things are too holy, some things are too special. You need to keep them in your heart and treasure them. Praise the Lord. So anyway, those are just a few of the great women of the Bible, great mothers, great moms, and we're grateful for the examples that they left us. But today, we're talking about Hannah, a special mother. So you already heard the basis of the story. I'm really an amazing story. You know, this guy Elkanah had two wives. Perhaps that's the first mistake, but you know, one is enough. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says the man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, not to his wives. And so had he followed that instruction, perhaps he would have saved himself a lot of stress and a lot of trouble in the family. Praise the Lord. So who was this woman, Hannah? Well, she was the mother of Shmueli, Samuel. Samuel was a special prophet of God, an amazing man of God, but he came from a great mother, a great family, a mother who loved God and who honored God, who was a woman of prayer, a woman of faith. This woman, Hannah, she was the wife of Elkanah during a time when Israel was in its pre-king period, during the time of the judges. So the Bible says about that era, that period, that every man did what was good in his sight. So there really was no strong leadership in terms of governance of the nation, but judges would rise from time to time and would lead the people against their enemies and so forth and so on. And God raised up people to lead in certain ways. But it was an unusual time, and perhaps a difficult time in some ways, because there wasn't a cohesive governance of the nation. So this family, Elkanah, Peninnah, Hannah, interesting family. You know, maybe to say something nice about Elkanah, this man, was that he was fair. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5 says, though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one portion because the Lord had given her no children. I mean, he gave more portions to the other woman because she had children, to be fair. So he was a man who tried to do his best under the situation, under the circumstance. Maybe you could say he was just weak. You know, it says in 1 Samuel 1, 7, year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle, and each time Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. So there was stress in this family, and, you know, evidently he didn't stand up to this other wife, Peninnah, and make her stop, because it says this happened year after year after year. So there's a little bit of a picture that even though he loved both wives and he loved Hannah, and maybe he was a fair person, he was maybe a little bit on the weak side. Some men just, you know, they struggle with those kind of things. Could be insecurities. But one of the things to remember about men is that, you know, they are a product of their own, of the parenting that was provided to them and the environment that they're in. Sometimes that environment is by their choice, and sometimes it's under other circumstances that are beyond their control. But in this case, he loved her, but somehow it was kind of falling short of the mark. Praise the Lord. So maybe he was just a little bit clueless. You know, they say women are from Venus and men are from Mars. So maybe he was just too much on the Mars side and not enough on the Venus side. And just, you know, maybe he just didn't get it. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 8 says, why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would ask, why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than 10 sons? Well, I guess there's something to be said for that, but, you know, maybe since I'm a man and I'm preaching this sermon, I should say... Sometimes men are clueless. Okay, I get that. And probably that's not going to change till they get a really deep revelation of Christ loving the church. You know, that helps a lot. You know, that helps men along in the picture. So those of you who are still waiting for some men, you know, you can put another thing on your checklist. You know, a man who has a revelation of Jesus loving the church would go a long ways. It would go a long ways to cover up all the other areas that might be lacking and might be missing, and the men from Mars can someday come back down to Earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, but then there was Eli the priest. Now, you know, I'm a minister. I've been preaching the gospel since more or less 1980. So he was a little bit clueless too. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12 says, as Hannah was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving and hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. Must you come here drunk, he demanded. Throw away your wine. Okay, so he missed it too. Where was his spirit of discernment that morning? It wasn't going very strongly or working very well, because this woman was pouring her heart out to God. What an amazing, amazing woman. So she had all of these men situations to put up with, and not to diminish the issues she had with her co-wife, I guess. Is that what you would call a second wife? Wow. What a deal. So sometimes some of these things are hard, a little bit hard for us to relate to. I had a pastor friend. I have a pastor friend from Portugal who was relating a situation he ran into in Africa in one of his churches. He has several thousand churches around the world that have been planted out of the main church in Portugal. So some of those churches are in Africa, and in West Africa. He was preaching one day, and a lot of people came to Jesus in the service. Amongst them was a Muslim man who converted to receive Jesus as his Lord. So he came up to this pastor after the service and said, "Pastor, I have a problem. Maybe you can help me with it." And he said, "Well, I'll try to help you. So what's your problem?" And he said, "Well, I've got a problem. I have 12 wives, and I want you to tell me which 11 I should divorce and which one I should keep, because I know that you Christians, you only have one wife. So I want to be right with God, and I want to be honest about everything. So just help me with this problem." So my pastor friend turned to me and said, "What would you tell him?" I said, "I pass." I pass. That one maybe is above my pay grade. So, so anyway, he said, I said, "Well, what did you say to him? What did you tell this man? How did you counsel him?" And he said, "Well, this is what I told him. I said, you know, sir, you have 12 wives. It's really hard to unscramble eggs. So just keep your 12 wives and live for God, serve God, but raise your children, teach them what's right, and teach them what's in the Word of God, and raise a godly family, and be a godly man, and learn the ways of Jesus, and walk like a man of God." So that was his answer. So life presents a lot of problems and a lot of difficult situations, and many people, when they come to Jesus, they have a lot of baggage and a lot of stuff to deal with. So sometimes, you know, we're a little bit judgmental of people if they're not moving along fast enough. But we need to have grace. We need to have at least as much grace as God has to allow people some space to to come along in their sanctification. Sanctification is a process. It's probably not an overnight thing for most people. Some people have some really dramatic changes in their lives, but most of us have things to work on, probably for the rest of our lives. For sure, for the rest of our lives, we've got stuff to work on and to work out. So we need to have grace for people. And so maybe this morning we need to have grace for Mr. Elkanah and his situation in his family. But this mom, she was a great woman of God. The Bible says the Bible doesn't call her a great woman, but the Bible portrays her as a really great woman. So what can we learn from this mother, this mom, today? So first of all, I think the thing that sticks out the most to me is that her prayers prevailed much. Her prayer, she was a woman of prayer and a woman of faith. And even though she was in a desperate situation, at least in her life, it seemed desperate to her. Maybe it didn't seem desperate to the other people around her. I mean, her husband's just saying, you got me. So, that's all. If that's the best, You should just put up with that. But the Bible says that she went and she cried and she prayed before the Lord, and she was really serious about this. I mean, she was committed to getting an answer from God. If men couldn't fulfill her dreams and her visions and bring her peace, she knew that God could do that. God could help her. God could help her in a mighty way. So James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." So I think you can agree with me that this is really a good illustration of the truth of that scripture, that the prayer of a faithful person. So I don't know, maybe you're facing some difficult situations yourself, and maybe you've come out of some stressful situations in your family, in your relationships, and in your life, but prayer is the answer, because God is faithful, and what he did for this woman, he would do for you. So we had some songs about breakthrough this morning, about during our worship time. We've talked about this woman getting a breakthrough in various ways. So you have to see yourself in the picture. When we read the Word of God, it's important for us to be able to take away from that: how can this be applied to my life? How can I go forward from this point and learn the principles, but also walk in the truth of God's word and see it produce results like it produced for the people that we read about in the Bible? One of the wonderful things about the Bible is that there's so many stories of faith and faithfulness. There's so many stories that give us a picture of the different sides of people's lives and how they had to cope with things and how they worked through things and how they exercised faith in order to receive what God had for them. So we can get a composite picture of what it looks like to be a person of faith. And then, of course, we have the example of Jesus, where he operated in such authority and such power and such anointing. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. What an amazing, amazing target to shoot for in our lives, because, we're supposed to be like Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. We're disciples of Jesus. Following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, on mission with Jesus, we become disciples who are emulating the life of Jesus, this one who paid the price and became the sacrifice and the atonement of God for our sin and set us on a path of righteousness for his name's sake, the Bible says. So Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is coming back, and he's coming back probably a lot sooner than most people maybe even want or think he is. So the question is, will he find us to be those people who are faithful? Can we be at least as faithful as this woman, Hannah, who cried out to God and got an answer and then kept her promises to bring her son and give him back to God? What an amazing woman. That took some That took some courage. That took some. That must have. That day that she dropped him off at Eli's place, must have been a heart-wrenching day. Wow, she just left him there. You know, she put him in the hands of God. And when you read about Eli and his sons, you wonder if that was a wise decision. You know, because Eli was he was a priest, but man, he had some stuff going in his family, and his sons were characters. I mean, they were beyond characters. They were evil men. And so Samuel was raised in that environment and yet became a really, really amazing man of God, powerful prophet of his time. Praise the Lord. So what can we learn from this mother? We can learn the life of prayer. 1 Samuel, just chapter 1, verse 19, to repeat, says, they returned home from Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. So what a simple kind of thing, you know, just I asked the Lord for him. Are you asking the Lord for something? Can you believe and trust God for that something to come like Hannah did? It's something that we can take away from this message, you know, this message of a faithful woman, a woman of prayer. What else can we learn from her? Well, one of the things that we see is she was really an amazing woman of integrity. 1 Samuel 1, verse 27 says, I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worshiped the Lord there. What an amazing thing. She had dedicated this boy to the Lord, and she kept her vow. She kept her promise. He became a Nazarite. He didn't cut his hair. He was an amazing, amazing prophet of God. And that all was a result of this woman keeping her vow to God. You know, she could have gone home and played with that little boy and said, you know, I was pretty foolish saying that I would give him back to the Lord. You know, Lord, you can use his life, you know, somehow, but I'm his mom, you know, and he needs a mother. He doesn't need just a father in the temple. He needs a mother. But no, she kept her promise to God, and she took that boy that day and left him in the care of the priest Eli. An amazing, amazing woman of integrity. She kept her word. What else can we learn? We can learn she's a worshiper. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Hannah prayed, my heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. No one is holy like the Lord. There was no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. What an amazing, amazing woman of worship, and having that kind of praise and worship flowing out of her. That's the song that she's singing. Goes on farther, but it demonstrates and illustrates to her that she was a worshiper. So she was a person of integrity and a worshiper of God. No wonder God would see her tears and answer her prayer and hear her plea for this son. So what else? Well, as for little Shmuley, mom's prayer guided his life. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 11, it says, Elkanah returned home to Ramah without Samuel, and the boy served the Lord by assisting Eli the priest. So he became an intern for this priest Eli, who was the more or less the high priest of the time. Praise the Lord. So his mother's prayers kept him in a place of grace, in a place of favor, in a place of growing. And during his internship, he grew from a boy to a man. I'm sure because his mother was praying for him. You know, one of the things that we discover after we've served the Lord for a while is that it's pretty hard to get away from mom's prayers. So for those of you mothers who are still praying and believing God, don't despair, because they're not beyond the reach of your prayers. They will come in Jesus' name, because God is faithful. What he did for Hannah, he will do for you. Praise the Lord. So Hannah also, she gave him back to God, but she never forgot him. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "But Samuel, though he was only a boy, served the Lord. He wore a linen garment like that of a priest. Each year his mother made a small coat for him and brought it to him when she came with her husband for the sacrifice. Before they returned home, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wives and say, 'May the Lord give you other children to take the place of this one that she has given to the Lord.'" So that was an amazing thing, too. At least he recognized, he recovered from his, you must be drunk kind of thing, and started to see, that God was really in this thing and was moving and pronounced a blessing over her. I think it's notable that he didn't give that same blessing to Peninnah, the woman that antagonized her all of her life. And, I guess that chapter, the page has turned, the sword had turned, and she was delivered from the ridicule and the vexation that she experienced at the hand of her co-wife, Peninnah. Praise God for that. So this mom's faith and faithfulness, they're a model really for Christ followers, for disciples of Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21 says, "Then the Lord blessed Hannah, and she conceived, and she gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord." So she got an amazing family. God blessed her. God gave her increase, and God gave her and showered her with his grace, with his favor. So a lot could be said about Samuel, this person who rose to greatness. But I think one of the greatest things is that his name is in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 with the men of faith. Hebrews 11:32 says, "How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and of all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice, and they received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the flames of fire. They escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle, and they put armies to flight." People of faith are great people because God has raised them up for the time and the hour that they live in. So you're living in a particular time. You're living in a particular hour, a particular age of history. So now it's your turn. It's your turn to stand up and be counted for God as a person of faith, as a person of faithfulness. And so as we learn these kinds of things that we learn from this lady, Sister Hannah, the lady, what did you say her name meant? Grace and mercy, is that what you said? Praise the Lord. So I didn't even find that in my study this time. But what an amazing, amazing legacy she left us, a legacy of faith and faithfulness. Praise the Lord. So at the end of his life, this man Samuel, chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Now testify against me." Maybe his own testimony is kind of the best thing of to look at concerning how he lived his life. So 1 Samuel 12, verse 3 says, "Now testify against me in the presence of the Lord and before his anointed one, whose ox or donkey have I stolen? Have I ever cheated you? Have I ever oppressed you? Have I ever taken a bribe and perverted justice? Tell me, and I will make right whatever I have done wrong." "No," they replied, "you have never cheated or oppressed us, and you have never taken even a single bribe. The Lord and his anointed one are my witnesses today," Samuel declared, "that my hands are clean." "Yes, he is a witness," they replied. So his testimony of integrity, the integrity that he received from a mother of faith, was an amazing, amazing testimony. And even the people around him attested to that fact, that he was a man of God, a man of integrity, that God had raised up for that time and hour. He had a great mother. He had a woman, a faithful woman of prayer, a mother who was a faithful woman of prayer. a mother who was a woman of faith and destiny. So in the Bible, there's one really, I think, great tribute to wives and mothers and women of God. It's this from Proverbs chapter 31. It says, "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will be great. She will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good and not harm all the days of his life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and to plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it with her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor, and she opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspread. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known in the city gates, where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and integrity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and call her blessed and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise." So, Father, today we thank you for mothers. We thank you for great mothers, and we thank you especially for great mothers who are in you, who follow after you, and who know Jesus as Lord. We ask you, Father, today for these mothers here, for those watching us online, Father God, that you will make this a special day for them, and that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you will instill in them a tremendous spirit of faith, and that you will raise them up for this time and this hour, to show the next generation, Lord, how they can live their lives in faith and faithfulness, Lord, how they can be a person of grace and mercy like this mother, Hannah. And Father, I thank you for upholding them, for strengthening them, for encouraging them, and for lifting them up this day to be the women of God that you have called them to be. Bless them to be a blessing everywhere that they go. And Father God, use them in a mighty way for your kingdom, until Jesus returns and takes us home to be with him, to rejoin our mothers and our families, and to see all these great women of God that you raised up over the generations, Lord. We're so thankful and grateful to be able to serve you, to honor you, to love you, and to be called your children. For it, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.